We're going to take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15, verse 22 down through verse 29. In our series calling Answers, there's questions in the Word of God and there's also answers. We're going to add some questions during the series, but we find answers for life in the Word of God, and I'm thankful for that. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 22, Paul writes to let them know about some of his plans for the future, where he's going to be traveling. And we're going to talk about plans this morning, what our plans are and our spiritual goals specifically within those plans. As we go through life, doing the things that we know we need to do, checking things off our to-do list, what's the spiritual intention as we do that? So let's start in Romans chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause? For the cause of the gospel, also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, I thank you this morning for the opportunity that we have to study your word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning as we spend this time listening to you, that you would help us understand the plans that you have for us, the things that you desire for us to accomplish throughout this week. And Lord, may we follow your will. We ask now that you would teach us from your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to ask a question of intention this morning. And it's the question, what are we planning to do? What are we planning to do? It seems like every family has that one family member that is the designated travel agent. Like they're the one that plans the trips. Our family is going down to Florida in a few weeks for Haley's graduation, our niece. And so she graduates from a Christian school and their graduation is on a Sunday afternoon, so I have to miss another Sunday, which I'm not entirely happy about, but I am happy to be able to go to her graduation. I better make sure I make that clear. Right, so we've got this trip. We're going down to Florida. And so we had Leslie, Erica's sister, pick out the plane tickets because she is the travel agent, mainly for our family. She is the one that knows like plane ticket prices and the best airports to fly in and out of and all of that sort of thing. And we were more than happy to say, "Leslie, you pick out the tickets. We will pay you back. Plan it all for us. Tell us where to park, all of these sort of things. Handle that." And she does great with that. And so it's perfect for us to just pass it off to her and she takes care of it. That's Erica's side of the family. On the meter side, I think it's Allie lately. This is the one who is my niece on that side. She's the one who seems to plan all these family vacations and take care of all of that. But it seems like every family has one person that is the travel agent, and maybe it's reluctantly. Maybe they're the one that just gets assigned that role. They're like, "You do it. You figure everything out, all the details." And some people are good at it. Some people are good at planning, and they thrive on that. They enjoy that. They enjoy all the details and taking care of that. Some others they wing it, you know? They're like, "We're just going to kind of fly by the seat of our pants and see how things go." And, you know, sometimes it seems to work out for them. But we have all different types, right? Paul seems like he was a planner because he has a long plan that he has of what he's going to do and where he is going to go. So he writes to the people at Romans and he tells them eventually how he's going to get to them, to see them, and then even what he's going to do after that. So he's writing the book of Romans from Corinth in Greece. He's on his third missionary journey. He's been traveling through Macedonia and into Greece, and now he is on his way back to Jerusalem. His ultimate destination, though, is Spain. He wants to get all the way to Spain with the gospel. So he says, "On my way to Spain, I am going to stop by Rome, and I'm going to see all of you. And he writes to them to tell them about this. But he says, first I have to go to Jerusalem. So here he is, he's in Greece, he's going back to Jerusalem. Then from Jerusalem, his plan is to make his way to Rome and eventually past Rome into Spain. Right? So he lays all of this out, everything that he is going to do, all of his plans. Now we have plans, right? And we have our calendar, we have our to-do list, we have the things that we have that we know maybe for this week that we have planned. And maybe you have it written down in like on paper, maybe it's in a bullet journal, maybe it's on your phone, right? You have your to-do list on your phone or your Google Calendar or whatever it is. Maybe it's all mental. Maybe it's just all up here, right? Most of it's up here. And what you don't know, you just don't know and you forget about it, right? But somehow we got our plans, right? We got everything sort of how we're going to do all of this. And we're just hoping it gets done. Somehow we get it all accomplished. What we see in Romans chapter 15, though, is even as Paul lays out his plans of where he's going, what he's going to do, he has a whole other layer on top of that, which is his spiritual intentions, even as he travels all of these places and sees all of these people. He has a spiritual goal that he's trying to accomplish. These weren't just vacation plans for the Apostle Paul, where he's like, you know what, I bet the weather's good in Rome that time of year, I'm going to go there, and here's the sights I'm going to see. No, this was ministry. This is what Paul was trying to accomplish. And I think we need to be aware of this. Even as we plan out our days and our weeks and our months, we need to be aware that there is a spiritual aspect to everything that we do. So go with me to James chapter 4. I want to see this from the book of James. James chapter 4. Because we're Christians, and we serve the Lord, and we do the will of the Lord. And in James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And it says what you need to consider in everything that you do, in all the plans that you make, and it talks about in verse 13, making plans of going here and there and buying and all of these things. It's not wrong to make plans, but verse 15 points out, you know what you need to say in all your plans? If the Lord wills, we will do this and that. Or, what's the most important thing to me is what God wants for me to do. Even as I do all of these other things, what is it that God is wanting me to do? And we come down to verse 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There is good that we are supposed to be doing that is in the will of God for us. This needs to be a consideration for us as Christians. As I live my life, what does God want me to be doing? What is God's will for my life as I go about my day? So we're asking a question of intention, right? What's our intention? What is it that we are planning to do? There are some activities that are confirmed to us, already confirmed to us as God's will for us. There's some things where you look at and go, I don't know. In decisions that we make, we say, like big decisions maybe, we go, I don't know what God's will is, and so we pray about it, and we're not sure, and we read scripture, and we ask God to confirm that to us. There are some activities you don't even have to ask. You don't have to pray about them. You don't have to wonder. The Bible makes it very clear. This is what God wants you to be doing. This is the will of God for you. We're going to talk about some this morning from Romans chapter 15, but I want us to think about them as add-ons. Okay? Not to diminish their importance or their impact, but just the idea that these are activities that can be added on top of the other plans that we have. It's like adding lemon to any drink, right? You just add it on and it makes it better. Or bacon, right? If you add bacon to any of your foods, right? You just add it on. It doesn't have to be a part of the recipe. You just put it on there and instantly it's improved. That's what I want to think about these activities. Just taking them and incorporating them into the plans that we already have. These aren't things that are going to make you any busier than you already are. They're not something that is going to increase your already packed schedules. They're just things we take and we can add them on top of all the things that we're already doing. And I'll tell you what they are in a minute, but there's some really good reasons for why we should do this. One of those reasons is that they then take our like earthly temporal plans and they infuse them with a spiritual purpose. That all of a sudden we're not just doing our plans, we are also doing the will of God for us. And sometimes what arises in our life is a sort of false dichotomy between like Sunday and the rest of our week, where Sunday is the day that we serve God, right? We come to church and we do all these things, but then the rest of the week is our time, right? Where we're doing our things, and they're not bad things, but they are our things. And so we get this idea that there are times that belong to God, and then there's times that belong to us. And we sort of draw this map of our life with different areas that belong to different people. There are areas that belong to God, but then there's some areas that belong to us. And what this does, if we take these spiritual intentions and these spiritual plans, and we cover every part of our life with them, all of a sudden there is no difference between our time and God's time, or God's activities and our activities. We say all of it is done for the Lord. All of it is done with a spiritual intention and a spiritual purpose. Also, these activities, adding these on, it all of a sudden it opens up the opportunities that we have to produce spiritual fruit in our life, where everything that we do can then be fruitful for the Lord. We got my dad for Christmas a small, I guess, portable greenhouse. Maybe portable as in you could set it up anywhere. I think once you set it up, you got to leave it where it is once you put the plants in there. Anyways, right, we got him this greenhouse, which means, right, if you have a greenhouse, it means you can start planting your plants earlier, your flowers, your crops, or whatever. You can plant those earlier. And it just adds a lot more versatility to your gardening. That's what these do for us, right? They allow all of a sudden, it's not just, well, the times I produce fruit for the Lord are in these certain activities that are maybe church sponsored and where we're at the church or whatever, doing it with church members. All of a sudden, it's our entire life can be fruitful to God. All the things that we're doing that are just the mundane, boring aspects of life, all of a sudden, every single part of that can produce fruit. And we can be rewarded for the things that we do. Every time we incorporate these add-ons, we are blessed as we become a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, we're missing out if we're missing these things in our life. We're missing out on so many of the opportunities God has for us. We're missing out on so many of the things that God wants us to be doing, even as we accomplish all the other parts of our life. And so as we talk about these, I'm going to give you three of them. I want you to write them down. Write them down somewhere. Write them on a piece of paper. I guess if you've got one of those steel trap minds, you can just remember them. I have mine all written out. I want you to remember these. Because write them down. If you're like me, you go throughout the week and you just forget. Right? You just forget things. If you write them down and keep them with you, it's more helpful for us to be able to then incorporate them throughout the week. So, Romans chapter 15. As Paul goes about his plans, as he starts traveling, these are the things that he is going to incorporate in his journeys. So here's the first one. Number one, very simply, it's happiness. Happiness. So look at verse 24. Paul says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. On my way to Spain, I'm going to stop in at Rome. For I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." So Paul says, when I get to you at Rome, he says, one of my goals is to be filled somewhat with your company. The word filled has the idea of like being satisfied. John chapter 6 and verse 12, it uses the idea of this word. In John chapter 6, Jesus Christ is doing a miracle to feed a hungry multitude. So he takes the small amount of food that he has given and he multiplies it. The disciples take it then and they pass it out to all the multitude, to all the thousands of people that are there. So John chapter 6 and verse 12 says that when they were filled, he sent unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." That's that word. When they were filled. When they were so stuffed and satisfied that there was leftovers, right? They were just satisfied with the amount of food that they had. Nobody wants to go to a restaurant and leave hungry, right? That's not your goal when you walk out the door. Your goal is, I want to feel full. I want to feel like I got my money's worth from this meal. Jesus didn't leave this multitude hungry. And it's the way he works, right? It's what Jesus Christ does, that when he supplies our needs, he satisfies us. When we see what Jesus Christ does, we're filled with that. But it's more than just the idea of being like satisfied or filled. It is the joyfulness and the gratefulness and the happiness that comes from that satisfaction, of being satisfied with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, Paul said, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness." God left himself, not himself without witness, "in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons." Here's the part I want us to get. "Filling our hearts with food and gladness." That's the idea of this word. It is that you are so satisfied, you're just happy. You know, there's nothing that you're missing. There's nothing that you're complaining about. You are just satisfied. And there's a happiness that comes from that. Paul was looking forward to their company because he understood that just being with them in their fellowship would provide this, that there would be a happiness from this sort of satisfaction. Oscar Wilde famously said, he said, "Some bring happiness wherever they go, and some bring happiness whenever they go." You know, and sometimes it's that way. Some bring happiness when they arrive, others when they leave. But Paul was when he arrived there, he was saying, this is what I'm wanting both to receive and I believe also to do. Paul doesn't mention here that his goal is to bring happiness. It was really about receiving it. But I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I know this was on Paul's mind because he mentions it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and these are verses that I think about pretty frequently in dealing with people and talking with people. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. So as Paul, he writes this letter to the church at Corinth, he says, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness," or like in sadness, sorrow, grief. He says, "For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me?" Paul says, listen, if I get there and I'm gloomy and I am miserable and I am sad and discouraged, he goes, I'm just going to bring you down, and then who's going to cheer me up? If all we do is when we talk to people is we bring them down and we are the rain cloud over everybody's heads, and then we're like, why does nobody encourage me? Well, it's because you've discouraged them, because we've been that discouraging influence. If we want people to encourage us, we need to be an encouragement to them. Because if we tear everybody down and just drag everybody down into our depths of despair, who's going to cheer us up? Who's going to lift us up? Now, it's not wrong to share burdens and problems with people. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. That is part of what we do as a church family, that we weep with those that weep. So it's not wrong for you to tell someone about burdens that are on your heart and share the struggles that you're going through. But there also has to be a happiness to that, and even a thankfulness, right? If there's going to be a rainbow, yes, there has to be rain, but there also has to be sunshine. There has to be both. And even as we share the burdens that are on our hearts, we can do it in such a way where we also point to how good God is, despite all of that. Because that is what we believe, that no matter what, God is still good. And there are still things we can praise God for. And it even says this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, where it talks about, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, which is the burdens on our heart that we bring before the Lord. But it says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It's got both of those elements there. The struggles that we talk about, but also talking about how thankful we are to God. We need to make sure that as we interact with people, and as we talk with people, and as we go about our way and have these conversations, that we add on to it a happiness that comes from how good God is. That we are satisfied and filled with the goodness of God. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's difficulties. And we can communicate those to people. But over it all, we need to communicate happiness, that God is good, and that we are still blessed beyond anything that we could imagine because of God. This was the gladness that Paul sought to bring. They would be satisfied, filled with their company, and I believe also that they would be filled with his company, that they would walk away from being together rejoicing in God, glad for what God had done. This gladness wasn't going to come because Paul was good at making jokes or he had some funny stories from his traveling that he could share to them, and there's nothing wrong with that sort of fun. But it was this gladness that came from who God was, and that in their fellowship there would be this communication of the goodness of God. And that's what really fellowship is. It's when we talk about the Lord. And Paul says what's going to come from that is this satisfaction. We'll walk away from our meeting together being happy in Jesus Christ. That's what we need to add on to the conversations that we have. As we just go through our week and we got to talk to people and we have meetings or these different things, why don't we add on to that happiness? Not a happiness about the weather or springtime or any of those things, but a happiness from our communication about how good God is. And we can do this even with unbelievers, with people who don't know the Lord. We can still talk about how good God is. So as we go about, when we talk to people, is it all gloomy? Is it just the problems? Do we speak of difficulties, or do we also speak about the blessings of God and how good he is? Is it just problems, or do we also communicate that God is greater than those problems? Do we talk of fullness or emptiness? We need to be talking about the fullness of God so that when people leave our company, they leave satisfied. They leave full. Not full of how great we are, but full of how good God is. Let's add this on to the conversations we have this week, the times we talk to people. Let's have this in our mind that I want them to leave my presence happier because of God, because we have talked about how good God is. So, number one, the first add-on is just happiness. Happiness because of how good God is and how blessed we are. But here's number two. If we go back to Romans chapter 15. So the second add-on is helpfulness. Romans chapter 15, verse 25. Paul says, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." So Paul tells them, all right, first stop, I have to go to Jerusalem. His intention was, he mentions, to minister to these saints that are there. While he had been in Macedonia and Achaia, in that sort of region, he had been collecting money to give to the poorer saints that were at Jerusalem. The believers in Jerusalem were going through persecution and had been there, and they were just struggling with things. And so even as he went through these other churches in these other cities, he would collect an offering for them to take back to the people in Jerusalem. And I want to, if you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, again, he's writing this, the book of Romans, from Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians, in a letter to this church, the church he was currently at, he had talked to them about this offering that he was going to take. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So Paul had a hand in encouraging these churches to give. If we look over in chapter 9 and verse 5, he talks more about this. Chapter 9 and verse 5, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So this is what Paul had been working on in a lot of these different areas. So now he was going to take this offering and go back to Jerusalem. When Paul arrived, his goal was that through this offering and through his ministry, it would just help those believers. The believers maybe that were struggling or were discouraged in Jerusalem would, through this gift from these other believers that maybe they did not know, yet this gift would just help them out. That it would be a physical blessing, but also a spiritual blessing to them. When Paul arrived, his goal was to help. We can add that on. We can add helpfulness onto the things that we're doing. Probably of the three that I'm going to mention, this is the one that has the most potential to add more to our schedule and take up space. But it doesn't always have to. We can find ways to just add it on to already the things that we're doing. And that's what Paul's intention was in Romans chapter 15 as he talks to them, was to support them and to help them. And he talks about it in Romans chapter 15 as a matter of debt for these other churches outside of Jerusalem. And he talks about it as an obligation because it was from Jerusalem that the gospel had gone forth. And so now he looks at these churches and said, those believers in Jerusalem sacrificed to send the gospel to you. And he goes, you should be grateful to them, grateful enough that you're willing to give and willing to help them out for the ways that they have helped you out spiritually. And he presents it as this idea of obligation and responsibility for them. And they did it cheerfully. He talks in verse 26 that it hath pleased them of Macedonia. He says the same thing in verse 27, it hath pleased them. He goes, they were happy to do this. They were happy to give and happy to help these believers because they had been helped so much spiritually. And we know that we have an obligation to love one another. We looked at this in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Right? So there is an obligation on us to one another by the word of God and by God's love for us to love. To love one another. But there are some other motives for helpfulness. And if we look in verse 25, one of it is that that helpfulness ministers to the receiver. In verse 25, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. It's a blessing to them. The things that we can do, and the emphasis in Romans chapter 15 is on like money and giving money, but it doesn't have to be that way. That's why I chose the word helpfulness, to expand our idea of this beyond just handing someone money. There's a lot of different ways. But the point is that it's helpful, that it's a blessing to them. Have you ever found money just like lying on the ground? Sometimes you do, right? And you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's a $1 bill. Yeah, I'll bend over for that. You know? Occasionally you just do, right? You find money. There was a man in Norway in 2023 who was told by his doctor to get off the couch and find a hobby. You know, for health reasons or something. But so he took up metal detecting and he got himself a metal detector and he went out and started just doing this everywhere. Let me tell you, this hobby paid off because a few months later, he struck treasure and he found 9 gold pendants, 3 gold rings, and 10 gold pearls, right? All together. He found all this gold stuff just because he was metal detecting. Sometimes God provides like that, right? Sometimes it's just like, maybe you go dig in your backyard or something, right? But sometimes you just, like, things just end up laying in front of you. But more often, God provides through someone else. God provides someone else who then hands you the things that you need, money or whatever it might be. God uses other people to bless people. And in Psalm 50 and verse 10, it says this, for every beast of the field is mine. The Lord says, every beast of the field is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Right? So the Lord says, I have the cattle upon 1,000 hills, that God owns those. This is the bounty that God has to supply all of our needs, right? From this, from God's bountiful supply, he provides the things that people need. He meets the needs of his people. But you think about those cattle on 1,000 hills. Probably at this point, most of them are branded. You know, somebody owns these cattle. Probably you own some of these cattle. Now, not cows specifically, but if we think about, like, just the things, right? Possessions and money, that's owned by people. And yet we understand that God owns that. Ultimately, we're just the stewards of this. So what God does is he gives things to you, and then he looks at us and says, all right, now you help someone else with those things. You help someone out with all the things that I've given you. Whatever it might be, it could be possessions, it could be talents, it could be time, it could be a lot of different things. But God says, I give it to you, and now I want you to use that for someone else. I want you to find a way to be helpful to the people around you. And your helpfulness in giving is going to minister. It's going to be a blessing to someone. It could be giving money. It could be giving time. It could be giving your attention. Sometimes you just need to listen to someone. And I found it's listening not even that they want you to find a solution or give them an answer. Sometimes people just need to vent and talk about things, and you can just sit there and give them your attention and listen. It could be giving compassion and sympathy. It could be giving to meet a physical need. It could be praying. There's a lot of things that we can do. But my point is this. As we go about our day, let's find ways we can add helpfulness to the things that we're doing. That we're not so focused on getting our work done that we miss the people that God brings us to. And that God puts across our path that just maybe for 2 minutes, you can do something to help them out. And God put them right along your path. But sometimes we get so focused on what we're doing that we miss these opportunities. But if we have it in our mind that as I go, I don't know how, but I'm going to try and be helpful. I'm going to try and help someone else. God brings these opportunities for us to minister and to be a blessing. And you know what we'll find is that as we are a blessing, we get blessed as well. And there's fruit in this. If you look in verse 28, as we help people, God works in our life as well. And helpfulness is fruitful for the giver, for those that help. In verse 28, he says, when therefore I have performed this, when I brought this offering to the people of Jerusalem and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. He says, in the giving of this offering, when I finally get it to Jerusalem, he says, I'm going to seal to the people that have given, I'm going to seal to them this fruit. He says, what it's going to take this fruit from being a potential fruit to like actual fruit. Erica is always buying potential gifts, right? She'll find things and think of like gifts ahead of time that she can give to people. And so she'll buy them like way ahead of whatever event, a birthday or Christmas or those things. And then she just stores them, all right? And I can't tell where they are because my kids are here, so they might go peek. Right? But we have this, they probably know where it is. Right? So we have this stash of gifts, but they're all potential gifts, right? They are not really gifts until we give them to someone, until we wrap them and put them in somebody's hands and they open them. Right? So we're sitting on this pile of potential gifts. And that's our life, isn't it? Right? That all the things that God has given to us, we have this potential to use these things for the Lord. But it's when we actually take them and then we use them for the Lord in whatever way. And we're talking about helping and giving that it becomes actual fruit for us. And we receive rewards for those things, for what we've used. And when it talks about fruit in Scripture, broadly it means like profit or benefit. It's the harvest that we reap from the things that we have sowed. And there's a lot of different ways this takes place, both in this life and in the next. But this is what we have the potential to do in all the things that we are doing in this life and all our plans that we have and the ways that we are going about our life. We have the potential in helpfulness to gain a reward for the things that we're doing. And to earn treasure in heaven. And when we do it, both the giver and those that receive are blessed in this. It is blessed to give. And as we go, as we live this life, let's look for ways to be helpful. And by the way, I'm just going to add this on. be humble enough to let someone else be a blessing to you. Sometimes that's hard, you know? Sometimes you're like, I don't accept charity. But you need to let people be a blessing to you. Let them have that reward. Let them be blessed in giving. But let's, not only happiness, but let's add helpfulness on. Let's think about this week. As we go through our life, how can I be helpful? And just add that on to the things that we're doing. But here's the third one. If we go back to Romans chapter 15, there's one more thing that Paul talks about. And I'm going to make up a word for this one. Gospelness. I had happiness and helpfulness, and I put ness on the end of gospel. So gospelness. Romans chapter 15 and verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This is what Paul did, isn't it? He went everywhere and he took the gospel. He brought the good news of the gospel everywhere he went. And he says, I'm going to bring this gospel into Spain, the blessing of the gospel to them that are in Spain. And he says the same thing to them. He says, when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And I want to go back to Romans chapter 1, if you'll go there with me. Romans chapter 1, in verse 14. Paul felt an obligation everywhere he went to preach the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, he said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He had this burden upon his heart to share the gospel in every place that he went. We need to have that same burden on our hearts, that everywhere we go, we add the gospel on to our plans. We add on sharing the gospel. That we want the people we come across to leave our presence having heard the gospel or in some way received the gospel. This can be as simple as handing a tract to a stranger or leaving it on a counter somewhere, but just taking the gospel with you. And we have the track rack. As you go out of the lobby, there are tracks. You can pick some of those up, take those with you. You don't even have to say anything. You can go here. Well, I guess that is saying something, right? You can say here and hand it to someone, or I have something for you. You don't have to have a long speech. You just hand them that, and the track has the gospel in there, and it explains all of that. You can just simply throughout your day take some with you and hand them out to people and share the gospel with everybody. It could be as simple as handing a tract. It could be having a conversation where you bring up the Lord to someone, or you mention that you're a Christian or that you go to church. You invite them to church. It could be that you tell someone that you'll pray for them, and you're just starting to talk about the gospel with someone. You're planting the idea of Christ in their minds. And sometimes the conversations we have, they play out over years with people to tell them about Jesus Christ, to get them to that understanding. But that's on our heart. And that's the intention that we have going into these conversations is, all right, I'm going to try and plant the seed of the gospel. I'm going to somehow start this process of the gospel. Or maybe it's just as I go about my day and I see someone for 30 seconds, I'm going to leave them with a track. I'm going to try and be diligent about this, but making the gospel part of our plans, that it's important to us. This is what Paul said. Everywhere he went, and every person he saw, it was for the gospel, to make sure that they understood Jesus Christ. And he talks about the gospel of the blessing of the gospel. He says it's in the end of verse 29, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The gospel is a blessing, but it's really only a blessing to those that receive it. Because a person can have the gospel, but not have the blessing of the gospel. The same way you can have a vehicle, but not have the blessing of a vehicle, right? You could have a pickup truck, but not the blessing of a pickup truck. Because you would, you know, you have a pickup truck, but you lug everything by hand. You just carry everything around in your hand. And people look at you and go, you own a pickup truck. Why don't you put it in the pickup truck? You have the truck, but you're not using the blessing of the truck. Or a dishwasher. You could have a dishwasher, but not the blessing of a dishwasher because you insist on washing everything by hand. I don't know, right? The thing, but not the blessing of the thing. People can have the gospel, but not have the blessing of the gospel. Because maybe you understand it. Maybe you know the fact that you're a sinner. And maybe you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that he paid the price. Maybe you know that it's by faith. You just trust in Jesus Christ and you're saved. And maybe you have the gospel. And maybe you could share the gospel with someone else. Tell them all the details. But yet you never have received for yourself the blessing of the gospel, which is that not only do you know that your sins can be forgiven, but that your sins have been forgiven. And there's a difference between knowing the gospel and having the blessing of the gospel. The blessing of the gospel is that it's happened to you, that you have made that choice, that there's been a moment where you have called upon the Lord in faith and trusted in him, and he has saved you. That's the blessing of the gospel. That's what we're wanting. Not just that people have the gospel, but that they have the blessing of the gospel. That people hear the truth and then believe on Jesus Christ. This is what we want. This is what we want for people. Not just that they hear it, but that they receive it. And maybe you're here this morning and you have the gospel. And maybe you know this or you've heard it before. Maybe what you need today is to trust in Jesus Christ and receive the blessing of the gospel. Maybe that's the decision that God is bringing you to this morning, where you need to understand for yourself that it's not about what you know, it's about the choice to believe, that you need to trust in Jesus Christ, call upon him, and when you do that, he's promised that he will save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe that's the choice you need to make this morning, to receive the blessing of the gospel. But as believers, we need to add this on everywhere we go. Take the gospel with us, to somehow share the gospel. It's our obligation. It's our command in Scripture. And when we do that, we're blessed. God will bless us for sharing the gospel. We see the plans that Paul had, and then we see his spiritual intention in those plans. He says in Romans chapter 15, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave from Corinth. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. When I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to drop off that offering. Then I'm planning to come back to Rome and then from Rome into Spain. He had all these plans. But if you look back in verse 24, he says something at the beginning I want to point out. He says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. Just that little word. He says, I trust. Because Paul was depending upon God to bring him this way. And he was trying to do the will of God, depending upon God to guide him, to lead him. And we know that Paul would make it to Jerusalem, and he would deliver this offering to the believers that were there. We also know that Paul would make it to Rome. Now, I don't know if he understood this yet. I know he had some inclination of the things that might happen to him at Jerusalem, but he would be taken from Jerusalem to Rome as a prisoner. He would make it there and be under house arrest for a time. We're not entirely sure if Paul ever made it to Spain. There are some early church writers that suggest he did make it to Spain, but the record of Acts ends with Paul in Rome. Maybe Paul made it to Spain and maybe he didn't. But we also know from verse 22, if we go back a little bit, that there were plans of Paul that were hindered. And at times, the things that he was intending to do didn't come to pass. And that the places where he was wanting to go, he never made it to those places. And that's true of us as well, isn't it? That our plans don't always go as we intend them to go. And we can have good intentions that sometimes they fall through. It was several years ago, I had the great intention of, it was Mother's Day, I think it was Mother's Day, and I was going to make breakfast, in bed for Erica. So I was like, I'm going to cook her something. And so I went online and I found me some recipes that I thought I could do. And they fell apart. The first thing, I was like, I'm going to make coffee. And I stood at the coffee pot and went, I don't drink coffee. I don't make coffee. I don't know how to work a coffee pot. And I had this realization that I don't know how to do this. So I was like, well, that one's done. But then I had this recipe, and I cannot remember what it was, but it included hollandaise sauce. I'm like, well, I can do that. You know, how hard could it be? It didn't work. I don't even remember how you do it, but it involves like temperatures at specific points, and then you're pouring like eggs and butter in together, and if it's not the right temperature, you'll cook the eggs. And it's supposed to be this like smooth sauce, and mine had egg chunks all through it. And so I'm making this going, this is not what the picture looked like. I'm pretty sure this is not how it goes. And I ended up throwing all of that away. And I don't remember what I made her. It probably involved toast and possibly some scrambled eggs. Something like that. But you know, it's great intentions, and sometimes we have good intentions and they don't come to pass. But just because our plans don't go according to plan doesn't mean that they're all for nothing. And I want to close with this verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 8. Back in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 8. King David had a plan. His plan was he was going to build a marvelous, beautiful temple for God. He said, I want God to be honored by this building. He says, I have a nice house. God deserves to have a nice house. And so he makes all of these plans. But God looks at David and tells him, no. He says, you're not going to build this. You're not going to be the one that builds the temple. He says, in fact, it's going to be your son Solomon who's going to build this. And so David laid up all the materials for it. He gathered all of this, and Solomon came along after David, and he built this temple. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 8, Solomon records something that God said to David about all of this, about God not letting David do what he was planning to do. And so look in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. The Lord said, David, I'm glad that it was in your heart. You did well just to have that intention in your heart. Even though it never came to pass, even though you did not get to do it, it was good that that was your intention. And I want us to end with that thought. What's in our heart to do? What is it that we're planning to do? Forgetting the execution, forgetting whether or not it's actually going to happen. What's our intention this week? What's our plan to do for the Lord? As we look ahead to Monday and Tuesday and the rest of this week, do our plans only include us? Are our plans so far only about what we're going to get done? And what we're going to accomplish, and the things we're going to check off on our list? Or have we stopped to plan what we're going to do for the Lord? There are things that we can take and just add on to the other things that we're doing. Happiness, helpfulness, the gospel, these are things that we can do even as we do our other plans. But we have to plan for that, right? Failure to plan is planning to fail. If we don't plan to do these things, we're going to forget. We're going to get so busy with everything else. We're going to come down to the end of the week and go, forgot. I just forgot to do all of these things. We need to start today saying, I'm going to make these my intention. I'm going to take these things that I've written down, these three words, and put them somewhere I can remember. And maybe carry them with me or whatever throughout the week. But I'm going to go into this week with the intention of doing things for the Lord. That is not just going to be my plans and my to-do list and my calendar. It's going to be the will of God. I'm going to put the will of God before everything else and say, this is my intention this week. And what if we did that? What if we took these things and we took this reminder and then went throughout the rest of our week, maybe not even changing much of our plans, but what if we just had a spiritual intention in all of that? You know, it could be that we get back here next Sunday and we look back at the week and go, wow, God used me in ways that I never even imagined were possible. And I saw God do things. And I saw God use me to bring happiness to someone else just because we talked about the Lord. And I saw God use me to help someone in just a small way, but yet it was a token of God working in my life and working in someone else's life. We look back and say, you know what? God allowed me to pass out some tracts and share the gospel with someone who needed to hear it. We'll be able to look back and say, you know what? It wasn't just about what I did. This week was for the Lord. And this week I earned treasure in heaven and God accomplished things. And maybe it wasn't something that was like monumental and massive, but it was what God wanted. It was the little ways God wanted to use me throughout the week. That's how we want to end this next week. But it's going to start right now with us saying, I'm going to make some intentions. I'm going to make some plans that aren't just about me, but they're about the Lord. And me taking these things, adding them on as I go throughout the week, and doing this week for the Lord. Question of intention. What are we planning to do? On top of everything else, are we planning to serve the Lord? Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this challenge. Lord, many times we just get so focused on ourselves and the things that we're doing that we just forget. Lord, remind us this week. Bring these things to our mind. We pray that we would keep them before our thoughts, before our eyes, to serve you. That we would have a spiritual intention in everything that we do. That as Christians, we would serve you. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that's never received the blessing of the gospel, Lord, this morning they would trust in you. That they would talk to someone or simply get with you and pray and ask for your salvation. And Lord, we know that you save every person that comes to you. Lord, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts this morning. Bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.